hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be gone.
Good evening. We thank God for another Saturday. I'm Eben. From now till 9 p.m., we have a few things to look at, especially, you know, we all know what's happening in Israel, the Middle East, and what's happening in the world today. Indeed, these are very interesting times as believers who really look at the news, the foreign news, I mean, and you compare it to what you read in the Bible. Tonight I'll be coming from a certain perspective with a different angle, but still regarding the Israel issues as well. And God willing, next week I'll be continuing, because that's quite extensive. I mean, what I'll be starting today talking about, because, you know, we are living in the times when these are topics which we should really focus on a lot, to let people understand some of the dynamics behind what is happening. It's not just geopolitical issues. I mean, on the surface, yes, it looks like geopolitical, but when it comes to the matters of the Middle East, it is more spiritual or spiritually driven than geopolitically driven. So you see the forces, you know, the countries at the UN, the this, the voting, criticizing this threats of wars. Those are, I mean, so it's more of, you think it's the normal country, nation, problems and confusions and all that. But what are the forces behind these things? And tonight I'll be talking about some of these things, and I believe you'll get a better insight as to why what is happening is happening. And when we get that foundational knowledge about why what is happening is really happening, we'll know where to position ourselves in our support or our accusations or whatever you call it. You know, because it's quite worrying when you look at what is happening in the world and you see Christians of all people who are up in arms against, you know, Israel and all that, saying all sorts of things, you know. Clearly, is, I mean, when I hear and I see some of those things, it's just obvious that there's lack of understanding of, I mean, the fundamentals of the issues. So it's more of emotional movement by the media that is driving Christians to be pro-Palestine. I mean, because if you understand the forces behind this whole thing, there's no way a Christian, a spirit-filled Christian, can be pro-Palestine. And I repeat it, there is no way a spirit-filled Christian can be pro-Palestine, because the forces behind it, you cannot connect with it. It's not possible. And you would understand why I'm saying so this evening. So this week has been very tense in the Middle East. I believe those who watch the foreign news, the various networks, you'll be seeing the headlines, and the biggest of all was the alleged hospital explosion that the Palestinians were, Hamas and Palestinians, of course, were blaming Israel for. But eventually, all the evidence showed that it was a failed rocket from Islamic Jihad, which is also another terror group in the Gaza Strip. You see, so it's all, you know, for those who listened to last week's edition, I said something that you will be seeing Israel being the bad boy, being criticized and all that. And this week we started seeing glimpses of it. The truth is, it's even going to get worse in the times we are entering, because, you know, As for the hatred for Israel, it is large scale. The BBCs, the CNNs, all of them, they hate Israel. They are anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, not just because of this war, but even long ago. I mean, so the gruesome nature of the Hamas attack was such that a normal, rational human being just cannot be, I mean, unmoved. So all these networks have to, you know, I mean, align with Israel for this, the reason, you know, they've been attacked, suddenly killed children and all that. But as the, I mean, Israeli IDF military started planning towards going towards Gaza, and they started retaliating the strikes and all that, you can see the shift towards Israel being criticized and all the protests in various countries. I mean, let's look at just a few titles, headlines, and let's move on. U.S. and European countries pushing Israel to delay Gaza ground offensive. It's been 2 weeks now, and still they've not moved in. They are at the border, like the military is ready to move, but they've still not moved in. But you know, a top official disclosed today that there's pressure from the U.S. and European Union, EU countries, to delay. I mean, yesterday we also had two U.S. citizens were released by Hamas, and some believe that it's also one way, a strategy by Hamas to try and delay, cause a delay, because it's like then now U.S. will justify why Israel should hold on, because they can negotiate and have the 10 other Americans also released peacefully instead of making an incursion into Gaza Strip, which can be a very deadly, have deadly outcome. So that's one thing. Then some 100,000 pro-Palestinian protesters in London demand end to Israeli strikes. I wonder where all these people were when babies were being attacked. I mean, nurseries were being bombed and all. Last 2 weeks, Saturday, a whole massacre happened. And I wonder where these 100,000 people were. But you see, they pretend to see what they want to see. So even with all the evidence, the videos and everything, it will shock you to know that there are people who are still demanding and insisting that it didn't happen. And Israel is lying about it. I mean, I was shocked when I heard one of such people talking on TV, and it's like it's all that they're saying, the children have been killed and kidnapped, it's all lies. Wow. You know, in Nazi Germany, they had a policy or a principle: repeat a lie as many times and people will believe it as the truth. And that's what this leftist Semitic, all these guys believe in. Say it's even there are people now who doubt, they say they don't believe the Holocaust happened. Wow, they don't believe 6 million Jews were killed by Hitler. You see, so, and also the videos, the Holocaust reports, the news, the pictures, the evidence is abounding. People say no, there are some who say no, they don't believe the Holocaust happened. You see, so the hatred is so strong that they will have to justify why they must have a reason to hate the Jews. Then you also have IDF drones hit Hezbollah terror squads amid uptick in attacks. You know, and Hezbollah is in southern Lebanon. So there's been a number of incursions, attacks over there. Israel has been attacking Syria as well. You know, so, you know, the regional issue is a bit volatile in that regard. Then Israel tells citizens to leave Egypt and Jordan as soon as possible and avoid Morocco. That's a great warning there. Then I think they also said Maldives also. And this thing means they have intelligence regarding something. Then we also have Hamas releases two hostages. Okay, that's what I said earlier. Then Turkey's Erdogan, the president, says Israel's operations in Gaza amounting to genocide. Okay, and what did he say when Israel was first attacked? You know, that's how they play the game. Then anti-Israel demonstrations held across Muslim world amid Israel-Hamas war. Then we also have Joe Biden visiting, and then the UK Prime Minister also visiting Israel as show of support and all. And this has triggered the anger of the Arab countries. So even the meeting that they intended to have with Joe Biden, they got angry because of support for Israel, and they cancelled it. So the tension is really, really that bad, to the extent that yesterday U.S. warships had to intercept the period of about 9 hours missiles being fired from Yemen, which has Houthi rebels who are Iranian-backed terrorist group fired towards Israel, and U.S. warships had to intercept them, and this happened over a period of 9 hours. So, you know, far and near, missiles are coming from Hezbollah, from the Yemen, Houthi, the Iranian-backed group, Hamas, of course, Islamic Jihad, they are all firing. But these are instances where any wrong move, one wrong move can change the game and the dynamics and draw U.S. into it, because U.S. is having two strike groups there, two aircraft carriers, the biggest one and then another. And you see, if you look at how the U.S. aircraft carriers operate, the aircraft carrier doesn't move alone. It moves like in a strike group. So there will be about 6, 7, or so 8 warships around the aircraft carrier, and it moves. So it's a strike group. So if they have two in the Middle East, it's a huge military force there to deter Iran. And Joe Biden has warned any other country considering joining should be careful. I mean, it's obvious he was really warning Iran and all. But, well, you know, the way it is, if Hezbollah decides to get in fully, they've been firing missiles, a few, not the real big ones they do, they have. But if they really get in fully, that would mean the dynamics have changed. And the big question is, would Israel join? And that's quite a big question. Indeed, only time will tell, but I have my doubts on that. All right, so that's one aspect of it. Now let's get into some dynamics. Let me read two reports, then you can have an idea of what I'm talking about. This one says, terror aspects explains inside the mind of Hamas, into brackets, quote-unquote, death cult killers, amid their murder orgy against Israelis. So an expert on Hamas said the terrorist group whose attack on Israel last week was called a historic win by the far-left campus organization, believes the destruction of Israel is a key to its desire to see the world, listen carefully, to see the world subjugated under a radical Islamic caliphate after a Qatar-based leader called for global jihad. Dr. Jonathan Shanza is an expert on Iran-backed terrorist groups as a senior vice president for research at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. Shanza explained the terror group's ideology after last week Khaled Meshaal, the former chief of Hamas's political bureau for more than 20 years, called for Muslims across the world to get involved in jihad. Quote, the first thing that Hamas wants to do is to conquer Israel, unquote, Shanza said. And then, quote again, from there, it would like to see the world subjugated to an Islamic caliphate. In other words, a governing structure in the world that is led by Muslims, since it believes in Muslim supremacy as a general principle, unquote. Then quote again, Hamas believes that the conquest of Israel is the first step that is needed along the way. This actually is the sort of thing that we saw from Al-Qaeda, from ISIS and others. Shanza also likened Hamas to a death cult because its adherents place place no value on life. Now he goes on to say again, it embraces this idea of martyrdom to the point that the fighters simply don't care whether they live or die as they battle Israel. It's one of the things that has made Hamas dangerous, even as it has in the past lacked sophistication necessary to do real damage to Israel, he said. So let me quote the part that is quite revealing and interesting in this discussion, and where he says, they start with Israel and the rest of the world is the next target. You see, so people have to understand that there is a spiritual reason for why they want Israel. Yes, there's a spiritual reason. And okay, then let me read the second report too. Son of Hamas leader breaks silence on decision to denounce terror group. He says they don't care about the Palestinians. Musab Hassan Youssef fled the Middle East and converted to Christianity after spending time behind bars in Israel. So the son of a founding Hamas leader broke his silence on decision to denounce the terror group after he turned on his own family and converted to Christianity when he saw the horrors of the group's reign firsthand. Musab Hassan Youssef, who spied in favor of the Israelis and sought asylum in the U.S., spoke out on this, on his decision to leave the life of terror behind during Fox and Friends. And quotes, listen to his statements very well. He says, Hamas is not a national movement. Hamas is a religious movement with a goal to establish an Islamic state. Youssef said, they don't care about nationalism. Actually, they are against nationalism. But that's my understanding, that they are using the Palestinian cause only to achieve their goals. So their long-term goal is transforming the Middle East and the world into an Islamic state. Let me repeat. Their long-term goal is transforming the Middle East and the world into an Islamic state. I believe you are getting a better picture with these two statements from these two people who know inside out this Hamas group. You know, there's one thing we have to understand. The dynamics in the Middle East are largely driven by apocalyptic prophecies in their religion. And that is the driving force. I know the average person doesn't really know that, in as much as we have end time prophecies in Christianity, there are also end time prophecies in Islam. So these are the driving factors that drives the actions that we see. The activities in the Middle East is largely driven by these prophecies. So in order to seeking to achieve it in their time, some things are done. I remember many years ago, maybe 10 or so, Ahmadinejad, the former president of Iran, at a point he believed he had to spearhead the actions that would bring the Mahdi. The Mahdi being their Messiah, and on our side, what we will call Antichrist, yes. So, God willing, next week I'll get into the parallels. Do comparison and you see how interesting it is. So his actions were all geared by the fact that he wanted to fulfill prophecy in their written prophecies in the hadiths. The hadiths are the words and speeches and writings of their leaders. So, and these are centuries old. So you see, Iran's hatred for Israel, it's not just a normal hatred. No, it's spiritually driven, because there are instructions in some of the prophecies that they must kill all Jews. Actually, there's one prophecy, I don't have that one with me, I didn't tend to read it, but in paraphrasing it, it even says you'd have to kill all the Jews to the point where even a Jew will hide behind a tree and the tree will tell you, there's a Jew behind me, come and kill the Jew. Isn't a prophecy. You see, so when they hate the Jews as we are seeing. And let me tell you, what we are seeing is just the beginning. I mean, the real hatred, we are going to see it explode in a larger way. And let me just chip this in. Today, we are seeing the Jews being the ones that seem to be hated. Next will be the Christians. Write this down. Next. So, you see, when you see the Jews being hated by the world, don't think it's the Jews. No. The next group to be added to the Jews will be the Christians, you and I. This hatred, the whole fundamental thing is hatred against God. So, the same God that the Jews believe in is the same God we believe in. The only difference we have between the Jews and us is the Messiah aspect, where they believe that the Messiah is yet to come. We believe the Messiah has come. But even among the Jews, there are Jews, Messianic Jews, who are born again. So that's how it is. So, but the hatred against these two groups is largely because of the God. So you see, when you see the protests in London, in New York, in wherever, it is anti-God protest too. For now, it's like the Palestinian cause. So it's like, okay, the Jews. Israel. But it will not be long. These protests will be against the believers of God. That is Christians and Jews. It is one step at a time. You see, so when you understand the agenda that is at stake at the global level, then you'd understand why we cannot sit as if this thing doesn't concern us. So, you see, when you have Christians who think, it's a pro-Palestinian agenda, so they support the Palestinians. Oh, really? Okay. It's just like, you know, this week, this is for Hamas, various groupings, and then LGBT for Hamas. Say, Even if you don't know who you are supporting, because you see, you can liken it to a chicken that is supporting KFC. I mean, it's as absurd as that. Because the people you are supporting, when they get you, they will kill you. So why? I mean, unless you don't know exactly who you are supporting. But if you are supporting a group that even wishes to kill you, then why on what basis would you want to support them? But that's what we are seeing on the streets of New York and London and other places. So the same people who are protesting, you don't know when they get you, what they will do to you. It's not that, you see, they have this saying, you know, they call Israel little Satan and America big Satan. See, in essence, they also refer to the Western world, the Western countries. You see, so it's, the hatred is not, if you are not on their side, they see you as a target. That's how they see it. But see, because they have this agenda in faces, so on the surface, people will not understand it. They will think, it is just a small geopolitical issue being dealt with in Israel. Gaza has been the biggest open air prison, as it's nicknamed, and all that the Egyptians, the Israelis or Israelites or the Jews are the oppressors and all that. So you see, the media, as we all know, are big liars. I mean, largely, I mean, the CNNs and co, they have the agenda, the changing the narrative to make it look like Israel is the bad boy in the house. So they would make it like Israel. So those who do not understand these things will just be moved by emotions, take placards, wear t-shirts, marching on the streets without knowing the real issues behind. But I don't expect Christians, who should know better, more so pastors, who should know better, to be making the same noise as people who have no idea what is happening in the spirit realm and shouting all over the place in support of pro-Palestine agenda. And Christians also, come on. You see, so when you understand, these two articles I read to you should give you an idea of what is unfolding. It's a spiritual thing. Let's understand that first and foremost. It's not a geopolitical thing. Just that Israel is the first step, because, and God will, next week when I get into the details, you understand why they need Israel first. Because, you know, the devil is really smart. He knows the word of God. He knows end time prophecy as well. I mean, from the Christian side, he knows the role Jerusalem plays in the end times. So they also need Jerusalem. They also need Jerusalem. So they need Jerusalem to also use it as their agenda. So in fighting for Israel, Israel exterminate the Jews and this and this and this. It is Jerusalem that they want. The city with so much contention. Everybody wants it. The devil wants it. The city of the king, Jesus' city. And the devil also wants it. You see, so everyone wants it for whatever agenda they want to use it for. But ultimately, it goes beyond Israel. So once they have Jerusalem, then now it becomes the capital to now expand their caliphate and all. So let's see it as something which, when we Christians, the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. These are not things you debate about and all that. And see, and even come, just reflect about it. Just reflect. See the hatred for Israel. I mean, absolute hatred. You can see the hatred in their eyes. I mean, you look at the protesters. They just hate. And see, this hatred is spearheaded. You see, let's not forget that we are spirit beings first and foremost. As Christians, we should understand spiritual things. So you see, there are spirits driving people to do what they do. And that's exactly what we see on the streets. So people will be making these demands, but the agenda is, ultimately, they are coming for you and I as well. They want all of us. It's not just an Israel situation, it's a world situation. So just that it starts somewhere and then it spreads. So this issue that we are seeing, it will seem like, oh, it's just a normal thing. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? It may reduce, it will increase, it may reduce, it will increase. But behind the scenes, so Iran, for instance, they are poised to ensure that they defeat Israel at all costs, because they need to fulfill scripture in their books. I mean, not the Bible side. So they are doing all that they are doing through their proxies, the Hezbollahs, the Hamas, the Houthi rebels in Yemen and all. Because they know, I mean, for those who have access to the net, you can look for this video. I don't know whether it's still online, but it's like the title was "The Coming is Upon Us." It was an Iranian government video on the end times. The Iranian government did this report on the end times. I mean, when Ahmadinejad was the president, "The Coming is Upon Us." I mean, I've not checked whether it's still online, but this was about over 10 years or so ago. "The Coming is Upon Us." See, and so it was translated by one former Iranian military person who also was a spy for the CIA and all that. He eventually ran to the US. So he did a translation from the Farsi language into English and all that. But you see, when you watch such reports, then you can understand and appreciate the spiritual undertones for virtually most of the things we see in the Middle East. They are just not doing it for doing sake. No. Some are seeing themselves as end time agents to fulfill scripture, to speed up the coming of their Messiah, the Magdi. You see, so people are doing things thinking it is their role, it's their time to facilitate his coming, to speed up his coming. So if he's doing this, he's doing it with the zeal and all the efforts available. That is the driving force. So just as we have Christians who we also believe the end is here. We have to propagate the gospel. So when we are winning souls, we are doing God's work with the zeal and the passion and all that. That is exactly how it is on the other side. You see, and see, let me just give you a clue. You know, Jesus came through the lineage of Isaac, through, you know, Jacob, through Judah, blah, blah, blah. It goes on. But largely, I mean, like, Jesus came through the lineage of Isaac. Likewise, the other side too, well, the Antichrist system too, will come through the lineage of Ishmael. That's how the system works. You see, so we cannot gloss over the Middle East issues at all. No, 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 no. The Middle East is such, I mean, it's such a major pivot when you are talking of end time. You know, so sometimes it's unfortunate that some eschatological books earlier will write about America. America doesn't play. America is not really part of the big picture when you're talking of the end time in the Middle East. The real show is in the Middle East. Israel and then the surroundings, the neighbors. Uh-huh. That's where the showdown is. As for America, their days are already numbered. So they are fading away. They will be out of the equation. The real show, Middle East, that's where the real show is. That's where the system, that will, the world, the end time systems, that's where it will emanate from. See, so when you understand these things, you look at the Middle East issues with a different spectacle, because now you know that it's not just ordinary, it is spiritually driven. So that's why we have a role as believers. If the Bible says we should pray about something, there's a reason why it says we should pray about something. If there was no spiritual reason and benefit to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, why would that portion be in Psalm 122 verse 6, I believe? Why would that? I mean, there will be no need to have that in the Bible if God knows that it's irrelevant. See, but God doesn't need explanations for everything he says we should do before we do it. But when you get some of these understandings, the spiritual understandings and the basics for some of these things, then you see the significance of praying some of these things, praying about some of these things. And of course, there's the aspect of prophecies where we cannot stop them, no, but we can still pray for God's will to be done in terms of people to be saved and all that. But in terms of some things not to happen at all, no, it has to happen. For things that have to happen, you cannot pray it away, no. But then you can pray for the salvation of people in the midst of these things happening, people's salvations and all that can be prayed, you can pray for. So, see, let's get these basic understandings about what is happening. You know, for instance, the Syria war, you know, there are the factions in Syria and all that. I mean, how many years ago? A few years ago, I read the report on it. And the forces there, the two Iranian-backed forces, and then those who were there. Iran is backing the Assad government, so Iranian-backed forces, and then the anti-Assad government. There's also one of their prophecies, which that's the undermining, that's the factor that is driving them to fight. Because there's also a prophecy about the destruction of the capital, Damascus. Also, there's an Islamic prophecy like that. So the fight is spearheaded by some people wanting to fulfill a prophecy. See, so when a lot of things happening there, they understand spiritual things. And that is their driving force. But we Christians, anything goes, we don't care. I mean, we just look at things on the surface as if that is all that matters. We look at CNN and think, oh, okay, they bombed here. Oh, okay, they bombed. No. We should look beyond the bombs and the protests and the noise and all that. There are reasons behind the things happening. Before we see it on CNN, BBC, Al Jazeera, whatever, there are spiritual factors that is contributing to it. And the very things we are seeing, the end point is also to fulfill and achieve a spiritual aim, an agenda. So as Christians, we should not be ignorant about these things. That's why I think it's time we talk about some of these things so that people get enlightened regarding these things so that we are not confused. Because the reason why I'm saying this is we are going to see more pressure mounting, the attacks against Israel, the hatred against Israel in the world. Countries that are supporting them now, you will see them turn against Israel eventually. They will start criticizing. They are being high-handed. They are being the bullies. They are not being considerate. Countries will start turning against them, more protests against them. So then synagogues, this week I think two synagogues were attacked in two different countries. More synagogues are going to be burnt and destroyed. Jewish schools are going to be attacked. Jews will be, is it like, it will get to a point where they will have to leave some countries and go back to their homeland. Oh yes, because they just can't fit in some countries where they've been living peacefully. Actually, from the beginning of the year coming, there's been a high level of anti-Semitism in the US and in the Western countries, Europe and all. Even before this war came in and started, there's been a high increase. The attacks against Jews in a lot of countries this year is really reached record levels. So it's increasing. The hatred is increasing. But now this war is going to even push it to another level. It's going to take it to another level where I remember reading one man said he has to disguise himself when going out now because fear of being identified as a Jew in some places is a problem. God, that's how it is. The hatred is there. It's real. But as I'm saying, it's going to increase to levels when they will have to start fleeing back to their homeland because that would be the safest haven for them. Oh yes. They will not even be safe in America. Not even in America where the laws are not working. They will not be safe there because the system will turn against them. They will look like they are the most, whatever you can use to describe a human being. And it's like they just cannot fit into the system. But in the midst of all that, it's a lesson for we Christians. As we watch and we read and we see these things happening, we shouldn't think it is them. The next is us. Because it's just a stage, one after the other. It's a plan, one after the other. But eventually, it is all of us. Oh yes, eventually, it is anti-God. So if you believe in the God of Israel, then all of us will be lumped together because they hate all of us. You know, but there are reasons why we as believers cannot just ignore what is happening in Israel because, you know, there are a few reasons why we should as Christians, because God says he will bless those who bless them. You know, let's put it this way. Unless we don't believe the word of God, unless we doubt the word of God, but if we really believe what the word of God says, we don't need to argue about some things. See, we read portions in Genesis and when it applies to us, that one we pick it and use. But when we read similar things in those same parts of the Bible and we are not happy with it, you'll say, oh, that one there. You see, the interesting thing is, these things are not even part of the law. These were even before the law came into existence. This is not part of the law. If you read Genesis 12:3, there was no law. So it's not something like an apam dada. No, this is not about, the Old Testament type of thing, or like the law. So we are not under the law, so we don't obey these things. No. This is not about it. But we are glad to claim Abrahamic blessings. But when God says this in that same portion of scriptures, that one, we have issues because we've been deceived by the CNNs and the BBCs to also hate the Israelites. Genesis 12:3 says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Unless we don't believe this. But if you believe this, what do you lose in being a pro-Israelite, praying for Israel? What do you lose? Nothing. You see, so then we can have a second reason, because we owe them a debt for what we have received through them. If not for them, you and I will not be saved. Sometimes we don't think about it that way. But if not for the Jews, where would our salvation be? If not for them, where would our salvation be? So we have a reason to also thank them, because it's because of them that's why we are in Christ today. Oh yes, it's because of them. We can also have a reason. See, the God's gifts and call on them have not been revoked, because if you read Romans 11:28, as regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for our sake, but as regards the election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and call of God are irrevocable. Irrevocable. So though they've not responded to the gospel yet, largely, it doesn't invalidate God's plan for them. It doesn't. Because they are still coming to Christ. And God has a plan for them. And if we really care about them too, it should be something we should be praying about. Their salvation. Oh yes. Because God has promised. So it will be fulfilled anyway. So we also have to pray for it to happen. You know, if we are to look at the prophecies regarding their existence, even they being a country alone, it's a prophecy. Because God says he will bring them back. You see, so when we believe, if we believe the Bible, then let's believe it fully. Let's believe it fully. So we can leave the agnostics and all the critics and the anti-God, the haters of God and all that to lambast and criticize Israel and all that. But a Christian, you have no duty to be part of those who are criticizing them. You have no duty. No. We have been grafted by virtue of their disobedience that gave us the opportunity to also be grafted into the tree. So if because of them we also found ourselves somewhere safely in the system, shouldn't we even be grateful for them? I was having a chat with a friend this week, and she was saying that, but if it's like, she was even bringing this analogy that because of them, so if we've also had our salvation, so we should see them as our stepbrothers, because if they are the natural branch and we have been grafted in, so we should even see them as stepbrothers, so at least we should not despise them. And that's also true biblically. Yes, that's what it is. And see, let's renew our minds. Let's not allow the unsaved, worldly, canal media systems to pollute our minds on spiritual things. That's why I started by saying that let's see it as a spiritual thing, not a geopolitical thing. If you are going per the geopolitics of it, then you'll be moved by emotions on some of their actions and activities and all that. But as Christians, we are not supposed to be moved by our emotions on this issue. We have to look at it from the spiritual side of it. So when we understand the spiritual dynamics of all that is happening in the Middle East, we can appreciate the whole thing better. Then we know the game that is being played. So you know how to take sides and how to entrench your position in whichever side you are in fully. Because on the other side, they know exactly what they are up to, how well they are planning to seek a global caliphate system to control the whole world, for everyone to be in line with what they believe in. So, first hit the Jew, attack, take Jerusalem, use it. But you see, in as much as they are planning to do all these things, the devil also, the Lord also has a plan. For Jerusalem, they will seek to, they will try to, but they will not succeed. No, they won't. They will try as much as they can to overrun Israel, but they will not succeed. But the issue is, the agenda is there. At least that's what I want you to understand. There is the agenda. But in as much as they don't even take it as they want and get it as they want, it doesn't mean they will stop in propagating their agenda. because they can still achieve some of the things with or without Jerusalem being under their hold anyway. So we should be wise in these times we are in. You see, that's why it amazes me, and I get so disappointed when I see pastors out of ignorance just bowing to the system. I mean, it's serious. It's like, wow. You see, we should understand the game being played, though. We shouldn't be ignorant as Christians. No. We shouldn't be ignorant as Christians at all. You see, so when, if you pastors who should know better as leaders cannot even read the signals, and then what about your members who will follow you then? So you have pastors who tell you, oh, we serve the same God. Oh, but we serve the same God. Oh, really? Whoa. You know, just a simple logic. If we serve the same God, why then do you want to kill the one who is serving the same God with you for not saving? Look at the logic. We serve the same God. Okay, good. Then why then do you want to kill the one who is not serving the same God with you then? If indeed we are serving the same God, why then do you want to kill the other for not serving the same God with you? That means we don't serve the same God. Because if we did, then we are brothers. I mean, there's no need to kill because we all believe the same thing. But in as much as they say this as and when it suits them, so it's more of like an alternative. If this, then we use this one. If we then, so it shifts they shift the goalposts depending on the game they want to play. So when they want to deceive you, they tell you we serve the same God. And those who are gullible and can be deceived believe it and accept it and buy it and run with it. So you see pastors, oh, we serve the same God. We serve the same God. Whoa, I see. Interesting times. If we serve the same God, then read about it, research about it, and then answer for yourself if indeed it is the same God we serve. You see, so the issue is about knowledge. When we know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Knowledge is important. Knowledge is paramount. In all this discussion, getting informed with the right information is important. So when you know that we are not serving the same God, because we have a lot of differences. They believe, God has no son. We believe God has a son. That alone makes a huge difference. Because that disagreement is a major one. It's a major one. So how can it be the same? That's the issue. You see, people, we just don't ask questions. But if we are to ask ourselves questions or ask questions in our minds, I mean, we realize that, no, we are being deceived. But we just follow whatever we are told. The system tells you, we serve the same God. And then you believe it. But no, why don't you ask questions? If, then why? If, then what? If, then we are not asking questions. So we can be deceived. Open your church. Come and read the Bible to you and you're happy, you're clapping. Hey. There was one video I saw and the pastors were amazed. Some were giving standing ovation because, the vice president was reading the Bible and they were happy, clapping. I said, whoa. Is this how people can be deceived? No. Christians, let's get spiritual understanding. You see, when you have understanding, then you know that you cannot just be deceived by whatever you see and whatever you are told. Get the right foundation in the Word of God. Get understanding of what the system is all about. All that is happening in the world. When you get a better understanding of what is happening in the world, the game being played in the world, then you know why some things are happening in the world. You look at the Middle East, then you can appreciate all that is happening. So when you see these things, you know, oh, okay, then you have to tighten up your prayers, tighten your belts, and know the times we are in, the wind that is blowing towards the world. so that you are not deceived and you are not surprised and you are not shocked and you are not disappointed. Because you see, for those who lack knowledge in these things, eventually at a point will begin to get disappointed because they will think, but we thought. No, it's not about you. What you think. No. It's not about what you think that is going to matter. No. It shouldn't be what you think that is going to matter. It is what has been set in motion that is going to matter. So you knowing about it is what will make a difference in whether you falling for it or you being deceived. It's not about what you think. Because as for thinking, the media can shape your thinking and set a mindset for you in a way which you... So CNN will help you to think in a way. BBC, Al Jazeera, all of them will help you to think in a way because all of them have an agenda to push towards the system. So if you just follow, allow yourself... Oh yes, they will help to shape your thinking to the point where it's like, oh, okay. So you begin to think alike like them. You'll be... The left thinking, the liberal, the anti-God system, you also fall for it. And you will not see anything wrong with it. And as I said last week, you will see it. You will see it. You will see Christians arguing in offices on this issue. Oh, Israel is wrong. They are evil. They are this. Christians will be arguing. Pastors will be arguing. When you see these things and you hear these things, don't be surprised. I mean, you just watch it quietly and say, whoa, indeed, these are the things that would really explain to you that we are in the end times. When Jesus says that, beware of deception. You see, deception is not going to come, the only way we think it's going to be. No, it's coming from in various angles. So if we are warned to be aware of it, then that means we have to shine our eyes across board. So we just don't allow ourselves to be deceived by the system. That's how it is. We shouldn't allow us to be deceived by the system. Anyway, you can send your messages to 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757. I'll be back after. Okay. I think there is a song I wanted to play. I can't find it. Okay, no. I think there's another one.
The olive trees that stand in silence upon the hills of time. The shepherd pauses in the valley and bells of evening chime. The shofar sounding from the temple to call the world to pray. The shepherd pauses in the valley, and peace is everywhere. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, forever young, forever old. My heart will sing its songs of glory, Jerusalem. Yerushalayim shel zahav, v'shel nechoshet v'shel or, halo lechol shirai ani kinu. The waterway for those who thirsted, the ancient market square, your golden sun that lights the future for all men everywhere. How many songs, how many stories the stony hills recall. Around her heart, my city carries a lonely ancient wall. Yerushalayim,
שיר זהב ושל נחושת ושל אור הלא לכל שיעורי אני כינור And far away beyond the desert A thousand suns will glow We will be going to the Dead Sea By way of Jericho My simple voice cannot acclaim thee To weak the words I choose Jerusalem, if I forget thee May my right hand It's cunning blues Yerushalayim shel zahav V'shel nechoshet v'shel on Halo nechol shirayich Ani ki no Yerushalayim shel של נחושת ושלום הלו לכל שירייך אני כינו
ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם Blessed are you, O God, keeper of your word, keeper of your people, keeper of your city, Jerusalem.
Welcome back to Issues on Spirit 88.3 FM. This is Eben. I have one or two messages. Let me see that I can read. Yeah, Mr. Kudria says, yeah, I think I like this one. I remember about 2 years ago, a Jewish rabbi, considering what is coming, asked the Jews to return to Israel because that is the only place they can be safe. Wow. Indeed. I mean, that's exactly what is going to happen because, as I was just saying, they will be hated all across. I mean, the cities where even they have the best of securities, they are going to be ostracized to the point where the only option is just to leave and go home because that's where their safety will be assured. And indeed, yeah, I remember something like that. So, and then John, okay, Jerry too says, yeah, the coming is upon us. I've just checked and it's still online. Yeah, okay, that's good. So those who can watch, it. It gives a lot of insights as well. And so I believe, yes, these are the... Mama list sent one, but I think that one I'll skip, yeah, for obvious reasons. But it's true because today someone also shared a similar dream with me in that regard. Indeed, we have to pray. Ghana, we have to pray. Especially regarding the issues in terms of, you know, the statistics that I saw. I don't know if some of you may have seen it, where the Christian population versus the other religions population, where they would supersede the Christian population eventually. And I don't have it here, but eventually, per the growth rate and all that, they are going to dominate fully. And you see, It's obvious. I mean, if you look at the state of the church today, nothing to write home about. We are just sleeping and lazy. We are not doing what we have to do. And I believe we have to wake up. We have to pray. We have to wake up and do what we have to do as Christians. Mission work and all that. Anyway, my time is almost up. But I believe you've been blessed. You've learned something this evening. God willing, next week you'll be continuing. This is recorded to be uploaded to the spiritissues.info website and then to the Telegram group. So you can listen to it again. And you know, last week's one is there, spiritissues.info, and then in the Telegram group. So you know, I'll be talking a bit on these things and as we go on, because for the war, it's not ending this week or next week. I mean, it's going to drag on a bit. Yeah, it's going to drag on a bit. Number of ceasefires will come to slow down, it will flare up again and all that. So God bless you and good night. Thank you for listening to me this evening.
You're listening to the New Spirit.